Our text verse this morning is verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 5 or 6 years ago, I preached on this verse, and on the airplane when I was on my way to California on Tuesday, I was reading the book of Proverbs and came across this verse, and the Lord sort of laid it on my heart. Of course, it just keeps, you know, when you get a verse on your heart, it just keeps going over and over again in your mind. And then I was reading the books that you guys got me for my birthday, Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul, and there was a story that had this verse as it was up at the beginning of the story, and sort of reinforced some of the things that that God had put on my heart. And so this morning I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back to this verse after 5 years, and I'm going to speak on the subject, in all thy ways. We're going to draw a line down the middle of this verse, and we're going to divide it into two parts. There's going to be 6 words in each part. And part one is the first 6 words of this verse: in all thy ways acknowledge him. And in part two, there's going to be 6 words: and he shall direct thy paths. The first part of this verse is my part, and it's your part. It's the part that God wants us to do, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit, but it's the part that God wants us to do as we live our lives. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The second part is God's part, where it says, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to start on the second part this morning because I want you to understand what God is promising in this verse. He makes a wonderful promise. He says, I will direct thy paths. The word direct means to make straight or smooth. And so what God is saying is, my part is to take your paths and to make them smooth or straight. Now you say, well, what does the word path mean? Well, just think about what the word means. It means exactly what it says. This is not a word that you have to conjugate, and I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I've heard it. It sounds like something intelligent to me when you conjugate something. But it's not something you have to study. The word path means exactly what it sounds like. It's the way that you walk. It's your life. It's your travel through life. And so what God says is, I'm going to make the path that you walk on in your life straight and smooth. He says, I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to, the way that you're going to go, and I'm going to take out all the twists and the turns that are before you. And I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to discover all the potholes that are in the road of your life, and I'm going to patch up all those potholes. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to direct or make straight and smooth all your paths. And so as you walk, as you live your life, as you traverse this journey that God's given each one of us to make, I'm going to go before you, and you're not going to have to worry about the twists and the turns, because I'm going to make it straight. And you won't have to worry about the potholes in life, because I'm going to make it smooth. Now, that's a wonderful promise. I mean, just think of it in the context of taking a trip in your car. Let's say that you wanted to get from point A to point B, okay? From here to the back door. Now, which route would you rather go? See, if there's twists and turns, you may have to go this way for a while. Now, you're trying to get back there, and you started from over here. And all we're trying to do is get right back there to the back door. Because usually you can't go from point A to point B in a straight direction, you have to follow instructions. Adam printed off all the instructions for our trip today, so that we don't get lost. You know, men usually get lost because they don't like to stop and ask for directions. But anyhow, we're not going to get lost. But let's say that. So you want to go from here to there? By the way, men, I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not insulting you, okay? So let's say we want to get from point A to point B, from right here back to the door. And the route is full of twists and turns. And so I have to go over here. I want to get back there, but I've got to take this route here. And then I've got to go over here. I want to get over there, but because I've got to follow the directions and go all the twists and turns, I've got to make my way. Excuse me, Brother Chuck, I need to go right down here. Okay. And that might have been a pothole. See, if I wasn't watching, I might have got tripped up. But again, I want to get back there. But because there's so many twists and turns, and I'm traveling four or five times the distance between point A and point B. Here's another pothole. I'm finally here. But look how long it took me. It wasn't very straight, and there was a couple potholes along the way. Now, if you were going to take a trip, and you could take that route all the way back and forth, or you could make a direct path. You could start here, and you could walk just straight back here, smooth, straight, no potholes, and you could come to your destination. If you had those two choices as you were taking a trip in your car, which one would you take? Now, I know some of you would take this way because you'd like to see the scenery along the way. But if you were in a hurry to get where you were going, you'd take this route. You'd take the straight route. You'd take the smooth route. You wouldn't want to worry about have to follow, you know, all the directions to turn right, turn left, and back up and go forward. You'd want to go in a straight line. And you want to make sure that it was smooth, that there were no potholes along the way that would cause damage to your vehicle or cause you to careen off the road and maybe get hurt. And so what God says, he says, now look, my part is to do exactly that. I will go before you and I'll make sure that your path is straight. I'll make sure that it's smooth. And that is my part. That's what I will do. All right, you say, that's great, that's wonderful, that's a wonderful promise. I can't wait for God to do that in my life. Why hasn't he? Well, this promise is a conditional promise. You see, there's something that we have to do on our part before God does his part. And Before I get to that, I want to tell you, that's not unusual. There's many promises that are in the Bible that are conditional. God says, I'll do this if you do this. The one we talked about last week was a conditional promise. Remember the verse, Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, that's our part, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's God's part. Now, don't expect God to show you great and mighty things if you don't call upon him. Because we haven't done our part. How can you expect God to show you great and mighty things if you don't ask for them? Herb was sharing with me. You mind if I share your testimony? We were driving down Friday night, and he was telling me, he said, you know, Brother Darrell, he said, he calls me Mr. Manning. We got to get over that. It makes me feel older than I am. That's my dad. But he was telling me, he said, Mr. Manning, he said, you know, after your sermon last Sunday morning, he said, there's a couple things that have been going on in our life. I just decided to pray about them. And so he said, Sunday night, he said, I prayed. And there's two things that he was praying for. He was praying for a job, and they were trying to buy a house, and he it hadn't gone through, and he was praying that that would go through. So we prayed Sunday night. Monday morning, they got a call from the bank that their loan was approved so that they could get their house. And then Monday morning, he got a call, said, hey, we got a job. Would you come down and interview for the job? And by the time Monday afternoon was over, he had a job. I said, boy, I want to get you praying for me. Anybody that will pray and get answers that fast, I want to get on their prayer list. But see, if he hadn't have asked, we were talking. He said, you think if I hadn't have prayed that would have happened? I said, I don't know, but I sort of believe. I usually try to give God the benefit of the doubt. If I pray and ask for something and he gives it to me, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was behind it and it wasn't just a coincidence. He was behind it, Brother Herb. He answered your prayer. But he wouldn't have done it if you hadn't called upon him. How do we expect God to answer our prayers if we don't call? It's a conditional promise. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, another conditional promise. If my people, which are called by my name, here's our part, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's what God wants us to do, then here is his part, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says, if you do this, if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I'm on my part, I'll hear your prayer, I'll heal your land, I'll bless it. It's a conditional promise. Hey, we've been brought up this way. Why do we think it's so strange that God would put conditional promises? Our moms and dad says, hey, if you be good, I'll do this. Right? I mean, we've been trained that way. And if you be bad, this is what you're going to get. That's a conditional promise. Huh? Isn't it? That's the way God works. Romans 10:13 is another conditional promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's our part, that's what he wants us to do, shall be saved. That's God's part. And God will always keep his word if we will do what we're supposed to do. Now, Proverbs 3:6 is another one of those conditional promises in the Bible. God says, I'll direct your paths. I'll make them straight. I'll go before you. I'll smooth them out. But he'll only do that if we do what we're supposed to do in the first part of that verse, where it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All right, what does that mean? Well, the word ways, if you study it, what it means is all the different roles or jobs that you have in life. Here's my ways, okay? Here's my ways. I'm a husband. That's one of my ways. I'm a dad. That's one of my ways. I'm a pastor. That's one of my ways. I'm a friend. That's one of my ways. I'm a brother. I'm an uncle. I'm a cousin. I'm a worker. I'm a supervisor. I mean, and the list could go on, and each one of you, just like me, has a different list of ways that are in your life, a different list of roles that you play in your life. And so what God is saying is, if you want me to direct your path, then in all of your ways, in all the roles that you play in life, you acknowledge me. You say, okay, what does the word acknowledge mean? It means that you recognize and understand and accept and believe that God exists. And that he is. And that he created us. He designed us. And he spelled out for us how we're to live in every one of the ways in our life. And he's done that in this book. Okay? Now, you that were here 5 years ago, this sermon from this point on is brand new. The part up till this point has sort of been a repeat of 5 years ago, but it's brand new from this part on. So if you were saying, I've heard this before and weren't listening, you need to start listening now because you haven't heard this part before. God has spelled out for us in this book the instructions for how we're to live in each one of our ways. And if we're going to acknowledge him in all of our ways, then what it means is that I take this book and I live each one of my ways according to the instructions that he's given me in this book. This book is our owner's manual. Let me ask you, the adults that are in the room, how many of you have ever taken the owner's manual out of your car, out of the glove box in your car, and have read it thoroughly and studied it? Would you lift your hand? 1, 2, 3. Okay. 3 out of probably 50. Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's a boring book. And it is. Right, Lois? It's a boring, Martha, it's a boring book. I mean, huh? Oh, that's, no, just a minute. Stay out of my preaching. I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, I mean, it's a boring book. I mean, you read it and it's got little diagrams and got pictures and it tells you all about stuff. And you say, well, I know all that stuff. I know how to operate the radio. I know how to turn on the air conditioner. I know how to do all of that stuff that's in that book. But the purpose of that book, the reason that it was written, the reason that it's in the glove box, is first of all, it tells you how things work. I mean, it tells you how to turn things off, on, turn things off, how to reset stuff. It tells you how things work. Number two, it tells you what to do to maintain them so that they keep working. Okay? And then number three, it tells you how to fix things if they quit working. So those three things. It tells you how things work. It tells you how to maintain them so they keep working. And it tells you how to fix them. Now, again, it might say, if this happens, don't try to fix it yourself. Take it to your dealer. Okay? But that's an instruction on how to fix things. And even though most of us have not studied the book in detail, probably all of us have had an occasion to go to that book because we didn't know how something worked, or we were concerned about maintaining it. By the way, let me just give you a little test. In the new cars, what does the book say about how often you should change your oil? How many think it's 3,000? How many think it's 10,000? The book, at least the one I looked this morning so I could tell you, at least the one in my car said 7,500. They're making them better, and oil is better. So all you that are getting your oil changed at 3,000 miles, you can go, and I'll say that, and somebody will wait, and their car will blow up and say, come me. the book says every 7,500 miles. But that book, so all of us have had an opportunity to, if we haven't studied it, to maybe go and refer to it to get some advice on how something works or how to maintain it or what to do if a little light comes on or something like that, how to fix it. Did you know that the Bible is our instruction manual, is our owner's manual? It was written, who writes the owner manual in the car? The guy that makes the car. Who writes the owner's manual for our life? The God that made us. He's the one that wrote the owner's manual. And that owner's manual has the same three purposes. Now, boy, this is good. Just listen to this. The same three purposes. That owner's manual tells you how things work for every way of your life. I'm going to give you some examples in a minute. But for every role that you have in life, for every way that you walk in your life, it has some instructions as to how they're supposed to work. Number two, it tells you how to maintain them so that they keep working. And number three, it tells you if they break, how to fix them. I mean, every role that we have in our life, that's what God has put in the Bible. It's our owner's manual. Let me give you some examples. The word father is mentioned. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Let me back up a minute. I forgot one. Here it is. Oh, and I forgot something. So let me back up for a second. That's why I have notes. It's wise to use the owner's manual. It's foolish to try to fix something without knowing how it works or what the owner's manual says about how to fix it. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has set in his heart, there is no God. The fool has set in his heart, there is no God. So what the Bible's saying in that verse, if I try to live my life and all my ways not acknowledging God, not paying attention to the instructions in my owner's manual, the Bible says I am a fool. And that's exactly right. Would you try to fix something without knowing how it works or how to fix it? I am not much of a handyman. And sometimes when I go to fix things, I end up making a bigger mess than it was before I started. Now, I thought if you were trying to fix a faucet, all you have to do is take the screws out and replace the washer, and it's done. I had no idea that you were supposed to turn the water off before you started working on the faucet. That's why I have guys like Brother Larry that I consult with often. I've learned my lesson. Yeah. And I can remember the first faucet I tried to fix. It was dripping, you know, drip, 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 driving me nuts. So I got my screwdriver. I didn't know how to do it. I said, I can fix this, no problem. I'm glad this wasn't electricity, Sam, but I can fix this, no problem. And so I just started taking the things off, and the next thing I knew, there was just water springing out everywhere. Debbie was having a fit and saying things about me that were not kind, but as the stuff was spraying all over the place, it was a foolish of me to try to fix something. I didn't know what was going on. And it's the same way. It's foolish of us when we try to live our life without knowing how something works, why it works, how to fix it, and what to do to keep it from breaking in the first place. That's what God's put in this book. Now, here's some examples. The word husband. That's one of the ways that I have in my life to be a husband. This book tells me over 200 times what God wants me to be as a husband. Over 200 verses tells me how I can maintain my relationship with my wife as a husband. It also tells me when I mess up and it breaks, how to fix it. Verses like Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you just think about that for a minute. A lot of these verses we read and we don't think about them much. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, I love my wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I don't have time this morning, but just think about that. How much Christ loved the church. How Christ gave himself for the church. God says, that's what I want you to be as a husband. Verses like Colossians 3:19, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And you say, Brother Darrell, the word husband is not in that verse. I know, but those two verses can be used for any relationship. And it ought to be true of every husband in this room. Now, God tells us how to be a husband. And I can say, okay, I'm going to acknowledge God. There is a God. He made me. He made me a husband. He tells me what I need to be as a husband. If I acknowledge him, I'm going to listen to those instructions, and I'm going to obey those instructions. And then he says, okay, you do that. I'll direct your paths. I'll make it smooth and straight. The word father is in the Bible over 86 times. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This is Ephesians 6:4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If I'm going to acknowledge God in my way as a father, then I'm going to read verses like that. I'm going to search out the 86 verses where the word father is mentioned, and I'm going to listen to those verses, and I'm going to be obedient to those verses and do what those verses says. That's acknowledging God. That's acknowledging him in all my ways, in my way as a father. He says, okay, you do that, I'll direct your paths. Now, by the way, God, see, here's my part of the verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Here's God's part of the verse. And he will direct thy paths. Let me point out to you before I close this morning, God doesn't need any help on his side of the verse. You see, what we want to do is we want to help God define what direct means. We want to help God figure out what it means to have a smooth life, to have a straight path to walk on. You see, I can see the skepticism in some of your faces. Well, Brother Darrell, I have acknowledged God in my life, and I have lived by this book, but my way sure hasn't been straight or smooth. You misunderstand. God didn't promise that he'd make life easy. He didn't promise that he'd make it in all points pleasant. There's going to be some heartaches in life. You mean even if I acknowledge God in all my ways, there's going to be heartaches? Yeah. Because God's still trying to make you into something that he can use, that he wants you to be. And so there's going to come experiences in your life, even if you acknowledge him in all your ways, that you might look at and say, this isn't straight and this isn't smooth. This is a mess. But again, we look at it from an earthly perspective. God looks at it from an eternal perspective. And that trial that you have in your life may be the straightest, smoothest path that God can get you from where you are to where he wants you at. And we say, boy, this path that I'm on, I acknowledge God in this area of my life, but it's full of holes and it's full of rocks and it's twists and it turns. But when you get to heaven one day and you look back on that path that he's asked you to walk, if you're acknowledging him, you'll say, boy, that was the smoothest, straightest path that God had me on to make me into what he wanted me to be. So in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Hey, did you ever stop and think that that verse is also true about salvation and eternity? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. If I acknowledge God when it comes to this thing of salvation, then I believe that book. And what that book says is that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. Now, if I'm going to acknowledge God, I've got to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. You see, what most of us want to say, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I haven't sinned. I've always obeyed mom and dad. I've always told the truth. I've always tried to do what's right. You're not acknowledging God when you say that. In fact, the Bible says you're a fool. You're a fool. If I'm going to acknowledge God, I have to be willing to admit that the Bible is true and that I'm a sinner. If I'm going to acknowledge God, I have to admit that the Bible is true and there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is death or separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. If I'm going to acknowledge God, I have to acknowledge and understand and know that when the Bible says that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins, that's exactly what he did. He did not go to that cross and die for a sin that he committed. He went to the cross for every one of my sins and every one of your sins. That's why he went to the cross. And if I'm going to acknowledge God, I have to believe the Bible, believe my owner's manual, when it says I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, but that Jesus paid the price for my sin. And if I'm going to acknowledge God, I have to do exactly what that book says to make Jesus mine. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A promise. Now, here's what we do. We say, that's too easy. There must be more to it than that. I have to do more than just believe on Jesus to get saved. And we add to it. We say, well, I must have to be good. I must have to, after I get saved, I must have to live my life in a perfect way. That's not in the Bible. God wants us to live good after we get saved, but if my salvation depended on me being good after I got saved, I'd be in hell this morning. And so, if you're honest, would you? We want to add to what the Bible says. We say, well, you must have to get baptized after you get saved. You must have to join the church. You must have to come to church. And all those things are good, and we ought to do every single one of them. But those things have nothing to do with salvation. The Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not Jesus and something else. It's only Jesus. So even in this matter of eternity, in this matter of salvation, in all thy ways acknowledge him. God, you're God. You made me. You gave me an instruction book, an owner's manual. And in every one of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge that you exist and that you have instructions that I need to listen to tell me how to live in that area of my life. And he says, okay, you do that, and I'll direct your paths. I'll make them smooth, I'll make them straight. And again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that when you acknowledge God that your life is going to be a bed of roses. I'm telling you that he's going to get you from point A to point B in the smoothest, straightest way. And he knows what that is. So this morning, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's not an area of your life that God doesn't give you instructions for how to operate in that area. That God doesn't define what he wants you to be. I mean, in every area of your life. As a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a friend, as a worker. I mean, just whatever your area, of whatever role that you play, whatever area of your life, God has some instructions. And he tells us how to maintain that area of our life, and he tells us how to fix it when it gets broke. It's all in the book. And so this morning, I hope your Bible is more than a book you keep on a shelf that you only run to when you get into trouble. Now, to tell you the truth, that's what I do to the owner's manual in my car. I only open it when I get in trouble or when I don't know how something's supposed to work. The Bible should be an owner's manual that we read every single day. And that we heed every single day. And that we obey every single day. And when we do that, we're acknowledging God. So this morning, to every Christian that's here, in all thy ways acknowledge him. For the rest of today, in all thy ways acknowledge him. For all of tomorrow, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You can do it on your own, but you'll fail. And you're foolish to try to do it on your own. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this simple truth. Thank you for being a God that cares how our life turns out. And thank you for being a God that you've taken the time and you've defined for us and spelled out for us in every way of our life what we need to be. Father, many of us this morning, if we were honest, we'd have to say that we haven't always obeyed the instructions. We haven't always followed the owner's manual. And I pray this morning for every Christian that's here that we'd pay more attention to the book. We'd pay more attention to the instructions that you give us in the book. And we'd order our lives in every way in our life according to that book. And then we'll depend on you to direct our paths. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus. They're here. They've heard the gospel. And Holy Spirit, I pray that right now you'd speak to them. You'd show them their sin. You'd show them that Jesus paid the price for that sin. And if they'd come right now and they'd put their trust in Christ, that he'd take away all their sin. He'd put his righteousness upon them, give them a home in heaven, make them a child of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to have you stand in just a second. We're going to sing an invitation song. But before we do, I want to do something a little bit different this morning. Nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you can testify by an uplifted hand and say, hey, I'm a Christian. I know I'm on my way to heaven because there was a time in my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. If you can testify to that, would you just lift your hand and hold it up just for a second? Okay, just hold it up. Hold up just for a second. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Just a couple people in the room didn't lift your hands, and I thank you for your honesty. Let me just ask you this morning, would you believe the Bible? The Bible says that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, but that Jesus paid that penalty. And the Bible says that if we put our trust in him, Jesus will make us one of God's children and forgive all of our sin. And I don't care how old you are this morning, I don't care how many times you've been in church, if you'll do that, if you'll trust Christ, then he will do exactly what he's promised to do. He'll take away all your sin. He'll make you perfect in God's sight, and he'll give you a home in heaven. in just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And if you didn't raise your hand, if you couldn't raise your hand a minute ago, I'm going to ask you to come and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Father, bless the invitation. Use it. Use it. You speak to us. Help us to listen and to be obedient. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.